Good morning! Isn't it wonderful to hear this group lead us in worship as we begin and make us filled with joy? Thank you very much. Great to see all of you here this morning. We want to welcome you to worship. We're so glad if you're here with us all the time. We're also especially glad if you are here today for the first time. I want to invite you to open your bulletin and look for the connection card on the inside cover. Take a moment and tear that out. And if you will fill it out for us and put it in the offering plate later this morning, it's a great help to us to be able to get connected and to stay connected with you. If you're here for the first time, if you'll fill out that card and give us as much information as you are comfortable providing, and if you're here on a regular basis, if you will give us at least your name and your email. Again, it's really helpful to us to know that you're here today. As you do that, if you are planning to come to the community conversation tomorrow night, I hope that you'll just write that on your connection card. About once a quarter, we're going to have a community conversation, kind of a town hall style gathering. And tomorrow evening, Monday evening, we look forward to sharing with you a little bit of our thoughts and insights after being here for about 6 months, and then look forward to a time of question and answer where you can ask us some questions that you might have as well. So we'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock here in the Worship Center. And if you're going to be here, it'll be helpful for us in preparing materials if you let us know on the connection card. Also, you'll notice inside your bulletin something about our mission box for today. On our fifth Sundays, our mission box goes to support the United Methodist Children's Home, specifically the Madison Youth Ranch. There are boxes by each of the exit doors, and on your way out, if you would like to make an offering to the Madison Youth Ranch today, you're invited to do so. And then finally, we've been spending some time talking about marriage and the vital signs of a healthy marriage for the last several weeks. And also in your bulletin, you'll find information about a marriage course that will be beginning in just a couple of weeks. Aaron and Lenora are leading that course, but it's really an opportunity for you to sit with your spouse and have conversation that's just a little bit guided, but it's a private conversation between the two of you. So I encourage you to think about participating in that marriage course once a week, free childcare, dinner. It's a great time for you and your spouse. You know, as I think back on the day that I got married, that we got married, you know, on that day, I'm not quite sure that we knew what we were getting ourselves into. Maybe that's the same for some of you. We say those vows and commit to love and hold and cherish one another in sickness and in health, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. We don't really know what we're getting ourselves into. The happily ever after can sometimes turn into not so happily ever after. So this morning we'll look at that and what it means to sustain this commitment of marriage, and how God can strengthen us and give us hope as we walk that life and that journey together. So this morning, as I welcome you, I say to you, welcome home. Let me invite you to stand up and say hello to someone near you. Please introduce yourself if you don't know them. Reach across the aisle.
Good morning. Please remain standing as you are able, and let us worship God together as we sing about all the great things to come and be done in God of this city.
This nation, you are the light and day. that holds is hope to the future in our world, in our nation, in our cities, in our homes, in our marriages and relationships. Oh God, be with us now, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, may all that we say and do be a blessing of peace. Through the power of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Join me this morning in sharing together in an affirmation of our faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
We have an opportunity now to go to God with our joys and our concerns. And as we do, I want to share with you the names of those who are in the hospital we have under specialized care. We want to keep them in our prayers, not only this morning, but throughout the week. And I will share with you that often when I visit, these people tell me how much they appreciate and how they feel your prayers. They really do make a difference. As far as joys go, I want to share with you that our mission trip this past week to El Salvador was a success, a whirlwind in. They had some challenges throughout the week, but by Friday, it went in. So we praise God for that. And as we are in this time of transition in our country, of a leadership change, of many changes, as we're navigating what it means to be America today, I was led to St. Francis' prayer, St. Francis of Assisi, and his prayer to make us instruments of peace. And so this morning, this will be our prayer. We'll begin with a time of sacred silence so that you can lift to God whatever joys and concerns you brought with you this morning. And then I will read this as we pray together. Let us pray. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is error, the truth. Where there is doubt, the faith. Where there is despair, hope. And where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Most High, glorious God, enlighten the darkness within our hearts and give us true faith, certain hope, perfect charity, sense, and knowledge, Lord, that we may carry out your holy and true plans. As we are bound together as the body of Christ, praying as Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
having united our hearts in prayer, let us unite our voices in song, praying on the wonder that God's love never fails or gives us in one thing remains.
Thank you for every blessing that flows into our life. May we hold on to those things loosely as we give them back now to you and use these monetary gifts to further your kingdom, to promote peace, and to transform us as a community and the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Today's Sunlight's musical offering will be Photographed by Ed Sheeran. In the previous weeks of the sermon series, we've heard the attractive aspects of marriage. I'm not going to lie, when I opened my email and saw that the sermon title for today was Shattered Dreams, I had second thoughts about writing the book. I think as humans, we have a tendency to try and ignore the reality of hardship as a way to cope with their inevitability. But just as in times of difficulty, us at times of difficulty appear in all aspects of our life, they're an instrumental part of relationship and marriage. On a literal level, the song follows the story of a couple enduring a long-distance relationship. The idea of the photograph is a tangible reminder of the significant other and a way for one to maintain hope while waiting for the other to come home. Look beyond the concept of an actual space separating them, it also brings light to the times when you may be living right beside each other emotionally, but it feels like there's a huge difference between you. This is also true of our relationship with God. Sometimes there are seasons when you just don't feel it. It's these times which are the hardest, and you're powerless, and you can't make yourself passionate about something that in your heart of hearts you want. In his letter to the Romans, Paul says that the difficult times we experience are all but birth pains and testify to the coming good, the glorious times ahead. It's all too easy to overlook the beauty and hardship when we are in the midst of it, to find good in the heartbreak, separation, and sadness. Without these things, we would have no standing, no contrast to the good times. It's only after we experience the lows that we can fully appreciate the highs. While we are waiting, we can cling to God and let Him be our photograph, providing us with hope and His faithfulness to get us through. So yes, loving can hurt, but it's what adds color to our life and shows us the gift that life has for beauty and sharing life together. So now I invite you to join us in worship as the lovely Gabrielle Russo leads us in this musical offering.
Hoosier beat Rapa in five sets. And I've kissed my wife, and I've heard an Ed Sheeran song in worship, and it's not even much after 10 o'clock yet. It's a good day so far. I do want to say thank you to our youth and the loft, and I especially want to say thanks to Maddie and to all of the young people who crafted focus words before the song even began this service. Connecting life with faith and connecting a song from the culture and from everyday life to something that can resonate with the messages that we offer here in worship and the good news of God's love for us. So thank you for what you all do each week with that. Today we look at when life is tough sometimes. Was my mic working out here okay? Okay, all right, sorry. I couldn't tell. All of a sudden it sounded louder when I came over here. Today we look at one of the tougher topics in terms of life and marriage. And I will be reading a couple of passages that offer encouragement to us in the midst of challenge and pain. One comes from the letter to the Romans, and then the other from the letter to the Ephesians. So hear these words now. I believe that the present suffering is nothing compared to the coming glory that is going to be revealed to us. The whole creation waits breathless with anticipation for the revelation of God's sons and daughters. Creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice. It was the choice of the one who subjected it. But in the hope that the creation itself will be set free from slavery to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of God's children. We know that the whole creation is groaning together and suffering labor pains up until now. And it's not only the creation. We ourselves, who have the Spirit as the first crop of the harvest, also groan inside as we wait to be adopted and for our bodies to be set free. We were saved in hope. If we see what we hope for, that isn't hope. Who hopes for what they already see? But if we hope for what we don't see, we wait for it with patience. In the same way, the Spirit comes to help our weakness. We don't know what we should pray, but the Spirit itself pleads our case with unexpressed groans. The one who searches hearts knows how the Spirit thinks because it pleads for the saints consistent with God's will. And then words from the letter to the Ephesians. Don't make the Holy Spirit of God unhappy. You were sealed by Him for the day of redemption. So put aside all bitterness, losing your temper, anger, shouting, and slander, along with every other evil. Be kind, compassionate, and forgiving to each other in the same way God forgave you in Christ. Therefore, imitate God like dearly loved children. Live your life with love following the example of Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us. He was a sacrificial offering that smelled sweet to God. This is the word of God for the people of God. God's people say, thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this service, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts and lives. It's a comment that over the years, Catherine and I have heard from time to time from people, somehow detecting the illusion of perfection. Sometimes, when people say it, I can tell it's meant as a sincere compliment. Sometimes, it seems that there's a hint of envy or jealousy in the statement. Oftentimes, it seems to be spoken from a place of longing for something in that person's marriage that isn't present. It's spoken out of a place of pain and longing. Many of us who begin the journey of marriage, do so under the illusion of the fairy tale. You know, two people meet, they fall in love, they get the flutterbugs, they get married, they say the vows, and they ride off into the sunset and live happily ever after. Only problem is, it usually doesn't take very long, sometimes even before the honeymoon is over, for them to realize that there's a reality check in store for us. Good marriages don't just happen. They require work. Now, I would tell you that from my perspective, Catherine and I do have a great marriage. We deeply love each other, and we share life together, and we love doing so. And a big reason for that is that over 30-plus years now, we have invested significantly in that marriage through time and careful attention and energy in order to make it so. Marriage, for it to be good and joyful and hopeful, requires work. Sometimes, couples find themselves in a place where their marriages will demand more work than either one of them ever imagined. Sometimes, marriage gets to a place, to use the language of the song today, where it doesn't match the photograph, where eyes are never closing and hearts are never broken. There is pain, and there is heartbreak, and there is suffering. And so today we turn our attention to those times when life and marriage is not so happily ever after. When one or both spouses wake up one morning to the sense that dreams have been shattered. Now oftentimes, this happens as a result of something that falls into one of three categories. The first is there is an illness or a significant tragedy. And often these are events that are beyond the control of the person in the marriage. A number of years ago when our second child, Sid, was born, many of you have heard us already share about his birth and the challenges that followed in his early days, his birth defect. And we were told very early on, we were given the wisdom by others to make sure that we still paid attention to our marriage because the divorce rate for parents who parent a special needs child skyrockets. The tension and the stress, the worry, the hurt can create conflict within the home and between spouses. So sometimes it is that illness or tragedy that is beyond the control of a couple. And then there are other occasions. Another category is when there is a violation, a significant violation of trust, or a breach of the marital vows that is so significant that it can break the marriage apart. One spouse has an affair, or a spouse is dishonest about finances or another significant aspect of life that is meant to be shared openly and vulnerably between spouses. And then the third category is not so much a particular event, but is an accumulation of effect. Over time, through failing to nurture the marriage with good habits, whether it's communication or paying attention to the importance of sharing intimacy with each other, the topics that we've looked at the last couple of weeks, one or both spouses wakes up one morning and thinks, I don't love this person. Each of these cases, in and of itself, is an extensive topic that we could spend more time on than one day in worship. And so certainly we cannot possibly cover everything today. And I would also say that these are circumstances where if you face them in your marriage, people will need help from someone who can guide them through a process of healing and restoration. Today, though, I want to suggest three faith-based keys that can play a significant role in healing and restoration for us, for couples who find themselves in one or more of these circumstances. Now, I will say this at the outset. It is best when both parties are practicing these three faith-based keys. But even the action of one of the spouses can begin to make a difference and might ultimately lead to the other coming on board with them as well. So it is best if both agree from the outset to pay attention to these, but even one beginning to practice them can make a difference. So let's take a look. The first one is to live and act with hope. Specifically, the hope that a better day is coming. Sometimes when we are in the midst of struggle, in the midst of pain, it is tough to see or feel or think about anything but that immediate pain and that immediate circumstance. To live and act with hope is to be able to look beyond the immediate circumstance. In the Romans passage that I read this morning, Paul talks about all creation groaning, waiting for a day that is not realized yet, but that is coming. And he's primarily talking about that ultimate day of redemption and the restoration of creation. But in the midst of that statement, we can also hear hope for days that are still ahead of us in this life as well. We do groan with creation because we all participate in the human condition. Sin mars our lives and our relationships. And so life is not perfect, and therefore relationships, and particularly marriages, are never perfect. But nevertheless, we are not without hope. One of the things from our Wesleyan heritage and our Methodist faith tradition that can be very helpful in leaning into this hope is our understanding of God's grace at work in our lives, especially the concept that John Wesley referred to as sanctifying grace. That is the idea that God is not done with us yet, and that if we will offer ourselves to God and seek to live as a follower of Jesus Christ, then we will draw closer and closer into relationship with God. And as we do, we will learn more and more to live as Jesus lived, and therefore demonstrate love in the way in which we treat others around us, especially those that are closest to us. And so that Wesleyan idea of sanctifying grace gives us hope that God's grace is wooing us, and that if we will say, God, I want to do this, God will be there with us for the journey, and God's grace will allow us to have hope and trust that the best is still to come. No relationship is beyond hope. I can testify to this through times that I have sat with couples who were on the brink. Some of them coming to me having already made up their minds before they got there. I think they were just looking for me to rubber stamp it. But they were done. And yet time and time again, knowing couples who can tell that story of restoration. In Romans 5, we hear this: we rejoice even in our sufferings. Now, be clear, it does not say we rejoice at our sufferings or we rejoice about our sufferings, but that we can rejoice even in our sufferings, because suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us because of the love of God that has been poured into to our hearts in Jesus' name. Hope does not disappoint us because of the love of God, which is the second faith-based key for us today, to maintain a confidence in God's love for us, for each of us individually and for us in relationship with one another. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, Paul goes on to say in this 8th chapter of Romans. Nothing. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things that have been, nor things to come. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. God is with us in our struggles. And in God, we find that loving parent whom we need to turn to sometimes just for the comfort of knowing that we are not alone in the struggle. One of the ways in which we can nurture that sense of confidence and remind ourselves of God's love for us is through practicing spiritual disciplines on a daily basis. To pray, to read Scripture, spend time fasting to nurture one's spiritual life each day through intentional time with God. In our marriages, and especially when our marriages are encountering struggle, this can best be done together so that we share in that time and in that experience and really allow God to be maintain a confidence in the love of God. And then lastly, having been assured of God's love for us and God's forgiveness of us, since we know we are not perfect and we don't all get it right, and we each contribute in one way or another to the hardships that exist within our relationships, the third key for us forgiveness is first and foremost an action rather than a feeling. We would love to be able to feel good about the other person, but sometimes even when we're not feeling good, we need to make the choice to forgive. And then as we make that choice, then maybe through those conscious choices and actions, we begin to recover feelings. Particularly as the other responds to that forgiveness in gracious ways. Make the choice to say, I will not harbor resentment about this. I will not hold it over. Now, let me say one thing here. People are sometimes fond of using that pithy phrase of forgive and forget. That is not what I'm talking about. Forgive and forget might be close to the worst advice I've ever heard, honestly. Because faithful forgiveness doesn't just forget. Faithful forgiveness rightly remembers so that we can move into a new day that is different and not repeat what has happened before. And when we forget, when we choose amnesia, then old patterns tend to repeat themselves. So faithful forgiveness involves remembering with grace. And sometimes in that grace, we will set some new boundaries on the relationship. I have a friend who, a number of years ago, struggled with a deep, dark temptation to look at things that he knew he shouldn't be looking at, particularly on the web. And when that secret became apparent to his spouse, they had to wrestle through a very difficult time together. And one of the things that they agreed to in the aftermath of that was to put some very helpful and clear boundaries on behavior and on use of the internet. That couple is still together today, but they had to work through some hard stuff. And if that affects any of you all, that is hard work. And guys, if any of you are tempted by that, stay away. Because it will destroy marriages and it will destroy your understanding of what relationships are really supposed to look like. And what a healthy relationship with a person of the opposite sex is. Remember with grace, which may include the setting of boundaries and may also include the renewing of our commitment, perhaps even through the renewing of our vows. Some couples have found that to be a helpful way to say yes again and to mark a new point in the relationship where they decided to take a new path. Let me also say a word here, though, as I talk about hope and love and forgiveness. A word about abuse. Abuse in a relationship, whether it is physical and or emotional and or verbal, is never okay. It is unacceptable and should not be tolerated. And if you or someone is a victim of that, seek help immediately. I also want to comment on two other scenarios today before we leave this topic of shattered dreams and not so happily ever after. Because there is something that happens usually later in life that also causes the nature of a marriage to shift. Sometimes one spouse ends up becoming the primary caretaker of the other spouse. Where spouses shared an equal partnership and a relationship that was very mutual in so many ways for many years, there reaches a point where one's health declines or deteriorates sooner than the other. And the nature of that relationship changes. And then, of course, there is that time when death parts a couple. And one is gone and one is left behind. What I want to say to those of you who have already experienced that is to keep leaning into God's love for you. And what I want to say to us as the church is that those are the times when we are called to come alongside our brothers and sisters in need, to offer love and care and comfort and the gift of holy friendships for them as they face those difficult times. Lastly, I would just remind us all to never forget that we never do this work alone. The hard work of marriage, the work of acting with hope, the work of maintaining confidence in God's love, the work of choosing forgiveness is never work that we do alone. God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And at the end of the passage from Romans 8 for today, we hear just how important that gift is. In the same way, Paul says, the Spirit comes to help our weakness. We don't know what we should pray. Sometimes it is that way in a marriage, isn't it? We don't know what we should pray. But the Spirit itself pleads our case with unexpressed groans. The one who searches hearts knows how the Spirit thinks, because it pleads for the saints, consistent with the will of God. Live and act with hope. Be confident in God's love for you day by day, and where necessary to do a work of healing and restoration, so that in our lives and in our marriages, you might be glorified.
Indeed, following Jesus, becoming more fully the people he created and is calling us to be, is a journey. And that journey requires sustenance. For if we are to follow in the example of Christ, if we are to live and act with hope, if we are to maintain a confidence in the love of God, if we are to choose forgiveness, all in the example of Christ, then we need His grace. And His grace meets us at this table. We remember the night that Jesus sat with His disciples and He took bread and He gave thanks to His Father in heaven. He broke the bread, offered it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance." When the supper was over, He took the cup and again gave thanks to His Father in heaven, saying, and offered it to His friends, saying, "Take, drink, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance." And so we pray, Almighty God, that you pour out your Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make it be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast together in His heavenly banquet. Through Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Church. If you're going to be helping us serve communion this morning, I'd like you to please come forward and distribute. Every week when we come to the table of communion, one of the things that you hear us say is there is an opportunity for you to pray if you'd like, once you've received, to come to the rails. This morning I want to extend a special invitation. If you would like a prayer for your marriage today, I'm going to go over to this side and be at the rail. And I would invite you to come and I will offer a blessing for you. Especially if you have struggled or are struggling and you just want to entrust that to God, come and I'd be happy to pray with you. You'll see the stations ready for you to come and receive. You'll also notice that today we've put some additional stations in the middle of the room, so folks who are sitting in the back sections can simply come through that pair of servers that's in front of you. You'll come out the left side of your section, come forward and receive bread from one of the servers. Take that bread and dip it into the cup, and then return to your seats by the right side. The rails are open to everyone, and again, if you would like a prayer for your marriage, you may come and do that as well. All things are ready.
What I've become, you can't argue.
pray together today about our struggles and remembering God's promise of faithfulness and mercy. Please stand as you are able and join us in singing of God's promise that your grace is enough.